Hello, good afternoon, and very welcome to Liveline, coming to you from the Custom House steps here in Dublin in the centre of the... Now, if you were listening on Good Friday, were you listening, Bernie?
Yes.
Yes, you would have heard the officer commanding the British forces in Ireland, General Sir Brian Mahan. Did you hear him?
I did.
He was very, very upset. He made it clear that on the first anniversary of the Rising, which is today, Mrs. Today, Bernie,
yes.
All public gatherings were being banned. They're afraid. They were afraid. Apparently, that he said that the Rising might break out again. So we asked our listeners.
Yes.
On Friday, okay. We had a 10-minute telegram poll, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
10-minute telegram poll. Yeah. There was no text now in those days. 10-minute telegram poll. People decided that they were going to come out today. That's why we're here at the Custom House. And we're going to try and keep track of what's happening around the city. But I'm told on the first caller, we have to go to callers, there were phones, Bernie, in 1917. You know, there are phones today. Okay. What's your own name?
Bernie Kelly.
And what year were you born, Bernie? Don't get this wrong.
1858.
Well done, Bernie. 1858. Bernie, where are you working?
I'm working up in the Shell factory.
The munitions factory?
Yeah.
Up in Park Gate Street?
Yes.
And what's it like up there?
It's very dangerous work. Yeah. But we get good wages.
Oh,
and we have great fun with all the women.
And what's the money you're on up there in the munitions factory?
60 shillings a week.
My God.
Yeah, I know.
In 1917?
Yeah, we was able to buy a big house.
Even the RT presenters weren't getting that in 1917, Bernie.
Oh, my God.
60 shillings. And you like it, but it is dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous.
Okay, our first phone call. Our first phone call over to the GPO, I'm told. Who's on the line? Is that who? Sean is on the line. Were you there, Sean?
Hello, Joe, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'm over at the GPO, yeah.
You're a year late, Sean. It was last Easter Monday that the Rising.
Well, I tell you, Joe, it's absolute bedlam up here now. It's mayhem.
And what's happening?
Well, we come in this morning, there's a lot of people gathered here now, Joe, and they're after raising a flag up on top of the GPO, a tricolour at half mast now. And, yeah, they have it up at half mast, but there's a lot of people gathered here, Joe, now, with black armbands on to commemorate what happened last year.
Well, I think what people would have heard, clearly on Friday, that the tricolour is banned. The tricolour is definitely banned. The Union Jack is the flag of the country. All public demos are banned. So there is going to be trouble. I'm told Bernie is on the line. Bernie, are you there?
Hiya, Joe. Yeah, I am. I'm here.
What's happening? What are you seeing, Bernie?
I can't see any police, but at the moment, the flag's just after slipping down. But there's two fellas are after. Yeah, they're climbing up onto the roof of the GPO. I'm looking at
up
them here.
Up the rebels!
up the rebels. And there's a sailor and a younger fella. Hang on, I know that young fella. That's Eamon Murray, Baby Murray, we call him.
Eamon Murray?
Yeah.
What age are you, about 19, 20?
Young fella. Young fella, Joe.
Sean, what are they doing? Sean, can you see?
I can, yeah. I can see that sailor fella. He's shimmying out the flagpole now to hammer in the tricolour. And he'd want to watch himself, Joe, or he'll find himself spread all over Sackville Street.
And how many are there? The second caller. Francis is on the line. Francis, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
You're in Carlow. I'm told a man called to your house last week.
Yes, he came to my door. He was terribly well-dressed, and he said his name was Henry Power and that he was the head pensions officer.
The head pensions. And what happened then?
Well, you know, he seemed very nice. He said that he was sorry, but that my pension was being wound up.
And as we know, a lot of people are on war pensions and widow's pensions and separated allowances. Did you not get a letter, by the way, about this beforehand?
No, I got no letter. But, you know, he seemed so convincing. He said that it was because of the war and that they'd run out of money.
So, a shock, a terrible shock.
Oh, God, Joe, I nearly dropped down dead. You know, I've no family to be looking after me. That pension was all that was keeping me from the workhouse. But he said that he could get me a lump sum of £50.
Hang on. What did he want in return?
Well, he came into my house to have a look at my valuables.
Oh, I say he did, all right.
He did, yes. And he strolled...
So you had a route through them, did he?
Well, I tell you now, Joe, he strolled around the house with a cup of tea I made him. And then he picked out my wedding ring and a lovely photo frame that I had of my grandmother, and he said he'd meet me in at the bank the next day with the £50.
Oh, don't tell me. The next day, what happened?
Well, I've seen hide nor hair of him since, Joe, and I asked them in at the bank, and they have never heard of him.
I'm looking, it's Kathleen on the line. So Kathleen, he called to your house,
he
Kathleen.
Did. The night after he was with Francis, and, well, you know, the same thing kind of happened, except for the dirty rat stayed the night.
He stayed the night?
He did.
So the parish priest now?
Well, I wouldn't know about that now, but, you know, he had a look through my valuables.
Oh, here we go again.
I don't know what you're implying there, Joe, but he had a look through my valuables, and he said that they weren't worth enough to get the £50, and that I'd have to give him bed and board for the night as well. So, you know, he ate me out of house and home. I even had to go down to the shop to get him more bacon and eggs, and I spent my last few pennies on that, and then he disappeared, not a sniff of the £50.
Okay, that's terrible. That's awful. I'll say ah. This is a true story, by the way. This happened. We'll do our best to find out more about this man, Henry Power. Listeners around the country, will you watch out? Anyone, Henry Power, send us a telegram to the Custom House or go down to your nearest phone kiosk or try and book a call with your operator to ring us here in Dublin and we see, can we track him down? Okay, now he's come over. He's come over from the GPO. Stand up here beside me. Now, this is a man, just for our listeners at home who haven't not able to see us, because we didn't have smartphones in 1917. This man, you know the man I spoke about a few minutes ago, who was up on the top of the GPO? His name was what? Eddie Murray, Baby Murray. Baby Murray. Well, this is a relation of his. Would you believe it? And your name is?
Francis Murray.
Francis Murray, okay. Now, you're going to become Eddie Murray. You with me, Francis?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever acted before?
No.
I can see that. Okay. Okay, let's try and get a microphone to you for a start. Okay, so Eddie, you've been up on the top of the GPO. You've been up.
Up the river!
Yes.
And how'd you get on?
Grand.
Okay. So what age are you?
19.
Good man, he's getting the hang of it. Okay, you're 19, Francis. Okay, you're now being chased, which is true. You were chased over here. There's a photograph up there of by the DMP. Okay, what happened next?
I subsequently escaped.
Yeah.
And I legged it. And got away.
Yeah.
Clean.
Good man.
And subsequent to that, can we go into next month?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
There was an incident in Beresford Square, yeah. Beresford Place.
Right beside us here, Eddie, right beside us. And you were in a member of Nafina. You're 19, 20 years of age. You were full of the whole idea, year after the rising of nationalism and self-determination. So you're over in Beresford Place and you have a hurley, isn't that correct?
That's right.
And what happened?
The police tried to arrest me, but I wasn't having any of it. And I hit one of the policemen with the hurley.
Wow.
He subsequently died from that wound later on.
My God. Okay. So he died. You didn't mean to kill him, obviously.
No, not at all. No.
You're only saying that now. Sorry, you didn't. No, fair enough. You didn't mean to kill him.
No.
So what happens? Countess Markovic, the widow of Eamon Cant, they get you out of the country.
That's right. I was hiding in Countess Markovic's house in Leinster Road in Ratmines.
Yeah.
Then I went down to our summer residence in Wicklow, and I was there hiding out. But I eventually got passage to the United States and got involved over there with smuggling back arms for the cause.
And you came back to Ireland. It's 1917. Bring us forward 7 years, 1924. The Free State has been set up. And Eddie Murray, the young fella that was on top of the GPO on Easter Monday, this day, 1917, you come back into 1924, and what do you do?
I, in the country, back again, working around. I eventually joined an Garda Síochána in 1933.
This is true, this is all true.
This is all true, yes.
So you're now, you've accidentally killed a member of the DMP, and now you're a member, I hope Noreen O'Sullivan doesn't find out about this. Jeez, she's in enough trouble. She's in enough trouble as it is. But let's go back to 1923. You come back and you join the Garda Síochána.
That's correct.
Okay, now, what happens? I'm afraid to ask.
I was posted out to Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And I was in the force for 11 years.
Yeah.
I ended up the rank as detective.
Oh, very good, okay.
And I subsequently left the guards.
Okay, and then, unfortunately?
Things went very bad. I ended up in Grange Gorman.
Yeah.
I was eventually transferred down to St. Edith's in Port Rann.
My God.
Where I subsequently passed in 1984.
And have you any idea what was wrong with you? Like, why were we in Grange Gorman? Was it because of what had happened? Do you reckon?
Yes.
So let's go back. We'll bring you. We'll go. We'll go back into B. Francis Murray for a sec, because this is another sad aspect. You set about finding out about what happened to your relative, Edward Murray, with this incredible story. And you went. Where did you go? Did you go to Grange Garm? Who went up to Grange Garm looking for him?
I went up to Port Rann.
Okay.
In May 1984.
Yeah.
And I was informed he had passed in January of that year.
So you never met him?
I never met the man, no.
My God.
And that's why you're so emotional, I think, when you're talking about him, because it's an incredible story.
It is indeed, yeah.
Okay, okay. And it's in one sense, his story shows all the complexities of the time and the history of the country. So Francis Murray, thanks indeed. Thanks indeed for coming in. It's a great story and keeping the flame alive. The GPO. Are we going back to the GPO? Sean, are you there? What's happening with the flag?
Hello, I am, Joe, yeah. I am. There's two DMP officers now up on the roof, and they're yanking at that tricolour. But it's going nowhere, Joe. One of them's out there slipping on his ass, Joe. Yeah, there's no sign of it being shifted. There's a lot more DMP gathering here now, Joe.
But as I mean, people know at this stage, all public gatherings, there's the poster up there, proclamation, God save the King, prohibit the holding of any such meeting or any such procession on Easter Monday, signed Lieutenant General Sir Brian Mahan, Commanding in Chief, the Forces in Ireland, competent military authority for all. But you were saying people are still gathering. Is So let's go back to Malachy Oliver. Are you still there, Malachy, in Sackville Street, the manager of the Metropole? Well, there's no Metropole to manage.
Yes, indeed, Joseph. Yes, I am in fact still here, yes.
And what's happening, Malachy?
Well, they have succeeded in getting the tricolour down now. Unfortunately, they had to saw through the flagpole to get a more wanton destruction. And now, from what I can see, it looks like more of these gurriers have climbed up Nelson's pillar.
And I'm told Fintan is up at Nelson. Fintan, where are you, Fintan?
Up the Republic, Joe! Up the Republic, Joe!
What's going on there, Fintan?
I tell you, they had to sawn off the flagpole there, and three lads have made off with it. But there's another two, there's two of the Irish Citizens Army there, and they're on top of Nelson's pillar now with another tricolour.
This is disgraceful behaviour, Joseph. Disgraceful. I mean, have they learned nothing from last year? I mean, they're now throwing rocks at the police here. It's appalling. Those rocks are the debris from my own Metropole Hotel.
Oh, it's a pity about this, Joe. You lost your hotel. Oh,
Joseph, this is the lowest element. The lowest element is what this is. Lowest element running loose.
Okay, the only thing I can say is I hope they rebuild the Metropole, because in 1969 I have to get a job there as a lift boy. Dennis contacted us a few weeks ago with, unfortunately, something we normally try and find lost cars and people or whatever, but we've no luck on this occasion. But tell us why you contacted us, Dennis. Go ahead.
Well, this goes back to, I think it was the early 70s, when I was kicking a ball around in a field, and I found what turned out to be a medal, a military medal. And it had been awarded to a man called Felix Edward Petroni. And he was at the Somme. He was a member of the Dublin Fusiliers. And unfortunately, the only way you got this medal was if you got killed. Your family would be given this medal. So having found this medal, I decided with a name like Felix E. Petroni, should be no problem finding him. But it's been a lot more difficult than that. I have gone through every corner. I've searched every nook and cranny. Found out loads of things about the guy, but not a surviving relative.
And you went through census records, and you went through All the paperwork. You found out where he was buried, didn't you, Dennis?
We found out he was buried at the Somme, in the Somme. And, he was...
Okay, since you've been on Liveline, and I know you've been searching for years, by the way, show people the medal. Who has the medal there? The medal is stunning. Have a look at that, but please don't drop it. Look, we put it up on the screen there. I'm holding it the wrong way, I'm sure. Do you see it there? It's a fantastic medal. It's not a small medal. It's the size of a saucer, and has Felix E. Petrone. He died for freedom and honour. And have you had any luck in the last few weeks since you've been on Liveline?
No.
Okay, so you've decided now that you're going to go to his grave in France. What are you going to do?
If all else fails, and it looks like it may have, then I've always wanted to go to the beaches and the battlefields over there. Yeah. So I'm going to go over, I'm going to find his grave and just put it on it.
Okay,
see what happens from there.
On Liveline that day, a woman was listening from an organization called Finders International. She was listening here in Ireland, and she rang us and off she went. And the woman you're now looking at is a direct descendant of this man, Felix E. Petrone. Wow. So shake hands for a start.
Nice to meet you, eventually.
What's your own name?
My name's Geraldine Davis, and I'm over here from England, and I was Felix's granddaughter.
Isn't that incredible? Tell us about Felix, because he was born up the quays here in Ushers.
Felix was from a military family anyway. He served the whole of the First World War in France. He married in 1918 to my grandmother, came home on leave early 1919, did the deed with Granny, as you do.
I thought that was banned in Dublin, 1919.
Well, we kept it a secret. That's why you couldn't find us. He went back and unfortunately he died. He didn't know that my mother was on the way, and he didn't know that he was going to be a father.
And he died a young, relatively young man.
He was 22.
Oh my God. Now, is there any, because we searched, and Dennis, you did as well, of course, we searched for Petronis in Dublin. Where does the name come from?
It's an Italian name. Yeah. We've gone back through three generations and not got back to Italy. Well, a Sicilian name. We haven't got back to Sicily yet, but we are trying very hard.
You discover you're related to mafiosa or something. Yes. You're better off. Don't look.
Geraldine. I can make you an offer you can't refuse.
Okay. Now, Geraldine, you actually have been to Felix's grave, your grandfather's grave. Tell us about the grave. And he has a photo. We'll pass it down. I will show it to you. Where's Connor? When Connor comes in, I'll show him the photograph here of the grave. So you tell us, where is he buried?
He's buried in Abbeville in France. And my sister and I, who unfortunately died earlier this year, we went over to Abbeville and had a little chat with him and told him what he'd started. So that was, it's okay. Really good.
So Dennis, I want you to formally, you said if we found a relative, and we can't get closer than a granddaughter, you told me if we found a relative, you would gladly.
Well, I'm delighted to do this. It's taken a long time. Now I can go back to doing other things.
Okay. There's
it's all yours.
Not fantastic.
Maybe we could chat, and I've got lots of information for you. I'd just like to say thank you to Liveline and everybody concerned today. It's really been moving, very, very moving. Okay. Thank you.
Well said, Geraldine. We have Maureen. Maureen, you're in Clare. Henry Power, you're on line two there, Maureen. Henry Power called to your house yesterday. Don't tell me now you got rooted around your valuables, got bacon and eggs. Stay. What happened, Maureen?
Oh, he took the lot, Joe.
Oh, no.
I let him stay the night, and when I came down in the morning, everything was gone, even the furniture. I mean, he must have had accomplices or something.
And don't tell me. Same line. The pension's being wound up. Too many war widows. He could fix you up for a lump sum. We'd need your valuables first.
Yes, Joe, I'm just so embarrassed.
Well, Maureen, I can tell you, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Sure, anyone listening to the programme earlier knows he's going around Fleecing people is the only word. He's extremely convincing, extremely well-dressed, and by the sound of it, he's making his way around the country. Was there a mention, don't tell me, bacon?
Well, he insisted that I have bacon and eggs ready for him in the morning. And, you know, I had to run up to Moran's farm last night to get the bacon.
And there he was, gone in the morning.
Oh, gone with everything I own, Joe.
Okay, now this is, anyone in the Clare area listening, will you go to your local, or try and get down to your local post office, if it's still there? No, they had post offices in 1917. I forgot, this is 20, sorry. Go down to your local post office and ring us in Dublin, or send us a telegram to the Custom House, and we'll try and track down. Let me go. Because he's now arrived at Custom House.
Put the rebel!
That's young Eamon Murray, or Bayman Murray. Eamon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're known as Baby Murray, I'm told.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, well, what were you doing over at the GPO?
Well, we were trying to raise the tricolour flag above all the garrison sites involved in last year's rising. It was arranged by Helena Maloney and the other women of the Irish Citizens Army. And luckily, I met a chap up there, a fellow from Glasgow, and he was a sailor. He had the ropes and the wherewithal to get us up on the roof, he reckoned. So up we went, and up went the tricolour.
And how many garrisons did you actually get to?
Well, we got to... I'm actually sorry, Joe. I'm gonna have to scarper here now.
Why? Where?
New DMP there, Joe.
Here they come. God, they're brutal actors.
Hunt the rebels!
The DMP have a... Oh, God, they look threatening.
Excuse me, Mr. Duffy.
Yes, yes?
This is an illegal gathering.
Hang on. Apart from being... a brutal radio programme. There's nothing illegal about this, is there?
No, nothing wrong with this. As you have mentioned numerous times in your broadcast already today, all gatherings and protests have been entirely outlawed for the weekend, with the sole exception of the Lord Mayor's procession to the Pro Cathedral. Now, save in your presence, Mr. Duffy. This does not resemble the Lord Mayor's procession to the Pro Cathedral.
But it's an entirely peaceful broadcast.
Peaceful it may be, that is not a concern of mine. As you know, General Mahon has been quite clear in his order, and so therefore I must insist.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Can we take a quick break? Take a break. We'll be back after this break, and we'll try and find out if we can sort this out, because the programme has to go on.
How far can you go for a pound?
I say, as far as you like on a Goodwin bike.
Pimples.
Eczema. Rash.
And other skin infections.
Speedily cured with Zoma ointment and soap.
Antiseptic and soothing.
Zoma! Oh, and please add a dash of those delightful Irish minerals.
You mean O'Brien's aerated waters?
Yes, they give a zest to the palate and a nip to your beverage.
In stock and on sale at all bars, every ingredient carefully chosen and tested at O'Brien's Mineral Water Factory, Henry Place, Dublin.
We are. Did you get your Officer Morphy is back?
Yes,
Officer Morphy of the
Mr.
DMP.
Yes.
We've reached a resolution.
We have.
You've got your ice cream.
I have, yes, but where's my bag of chips?
Yep. Well, we've been on to Bordock's. As you know, Bordock's opened 4 years ago, 1913. They actually opened it in the lockout. And they say they'd send over, what you want, 4 bags of chips and 2 fresh cod.
If you would, please.
Okay, battered.
Please.
In Ireland, that was changing.
Okay, we now have the caretaker of Liberty Hall, Peter Ennis. Peter, what have you been doing the last year? Liberty Hall is gone.
Well, Liberty Hall is gone, and I was there since 1912, and Jim Larkin gave me the job, and I was there with James Connolly, and I stayed on with William O'Brien. But Liberty Hall wasn't gone. We went back into 31 Eden Quay, which was attached to Liberty Hall, and we set up office there. The union, the Women Workers Union, the Citizen Army came back, but there was not a good relationship. And the worst thing happened about this time, 1917, a court order was put to us, to myself, Thomas Forn and John O'Reilly, to get out and close Liberty Hall permanently. And we negotiated over that, and from there on we called the Citizen Army the Connolly and Mallon Athletics Club.
And what happens, you?
I stayed on. I was raided many times.
Yeah.
I lived there, by the way, so okay. That was on it. And then I was court-martialed in 1919. I was taken out of it. Patrick Lynch defended me, who went on to be the Attorney General. I was acquitted. I went back in. The Black and Tan snatched me from there. They brought me across the railings here, and they beat me near to death with rifle butts.
Oh, my God.
And I survived that. And in 1920, I was raided again. William and O'Brien, myself, refused to hand over the keys, and we were taken to Dublin Castle and threatened. And then ill health took me after that. Rosie Hackett cared for me.
Who's Rosie Hackett?
Who's Rosie Hackett? And my wife had died while we were in Liberty Hall. She cared for me. And I'm pleased, when I died, over 3,000 people turned out for my funeral.
Fantastic.
And the band.
Okay, Peter Ennis. And by the way, that's his grandnephew, Paul. Well remembered, Paul, by the way. Well remembered. And indeed. Let's go to our last caller. Robert is in Clare. Robert, we heard from Maureen earlier that she's fallen foul of Henry Power. He's frightening the life, as we say. Con man out of pensioners taking their money. Is he still in Clare? Do you know, Robert?
Joe, he's not only still in Clare, he's in the phone box with me.
He said, don't let him go, whatever you do.
I've no intention of letting him go anywhere. I called the RIC just before I rang you now here. I came into my mother's this morning, and there he was, sitting bold as brass, eating bacon and eggs, after trying to rob my mother's house last night.
And don't tell me, bacon and eggs again.
Bacon and eggs, yeah, sitting there, the grin in his face.
Can you, hang on, if he's in the phone box, put him on to me. Come on, put him on to me.
Easy now.
Hang on.
Hello.
Is that Henry Power?
Yeah, yes, indeed it is. And I'll tell you, I'll be very glad to see some police down here very soon to deal with this ruffian and the way he's manhandling me.
Well, hang on, we've some people here on the other line who want to talk to you. Mary is an awfully Mary.
Is that you, Henry, and it'll scut you?
Mary, how are you?
I want my lump sum back. You left me standing at the bank all day, all afternoon, waiting for you, in floods of tears I was. I was ashamed to tell anybody what had happened.
Mary, allow me to explain. There has been a minor delay. Oh. There's a minor delay.
Delay, my foot. I want my wedding ring back.
Eileen, hang on a sec. It's getting... Eileen, are you on the other line there, Eileen? Eileen, what dealings did you have with Henry Powers on the other line there?
Joe, this rubbing bet... He came to my house.
Yeah.
And he put the fear of God into everyone on my street, telling us our pensions were gone. I mean, Maisie Ryan gave him all her good plates, and then he disappeared off, and we haven't heard anything else about our £50.
Hang on. Henry Power, what do you have to say for yourself?
Hello, it's the operator here. I have someone who wants to get on the line.
Well, Mr. Duffy, it's the police here.
Yeah, no, hang on.
We need to terminate this phone call and bring this man into custody.
No, we just take a minute. Hang on. Now that we have you, we've done it before. Henry, what have you got to say for yourself?
Well, Joseph.
Tell me your real name for a start, and don't lie. You're beside a policeman there. Don't lie, and you're on national radio, even though it didn't exist in 1970. But.
It's,
You did. You're a con man. Go ahead. What is your real name?
It's Thomas Parker, Joe.
I know it is. And you're not the head pensioners officer.
No,
you're not.
I'm not.
You're just a con artist, isn't he? Fleecing to him. Just an absolute con artist. And Eileen, Mary, Maureen, Bree, they've left a trail of miseries around the country. They're all victims of Thomas Parker. I hope to get some satisfaction when he's brought to court. By the way, do you want to find out what happened to Thomas Parker?
Yes.
What did he grow up and become? A banker. He was taken to court. He was. And I tell you, you know something? I reckon in 100 years' time, there's going to be some fella on the radio. He won't be as good looking as me, you know. There's going to be some fella on the radio trying to track down con men all over the country. In 100 years' time. That's all we've got time for from Custom House Quay. And I'm told, this is the worrying bit, things are kicking off down here. The riot that was in Corporation Street is spreading around here. And Officer Murphy, come back with me ice cream and me chips. We'll see you in 100 years.